Duolingo has recently made a major switch in how their whole company operates. They are now integrating AI more than ever before, and there's some interesting things going on over there. So before we get into that, Jaden, why don't you tell them about our school community?
Yeah, so every single week, Jamie and I record a video that we post only on our school community and not anywhere else. And we've been doing this for over a year. So there's over 50 videos here that essentially we break down a couple different things. It's how to grow and scale your business and career with AI tools. And so we break down exactly the strategies and everything we're doing. This week, Jamie and I did one all about the strategies I used to get my interview with Mustafa Suleiman, the CEO of Microsoft AI, that I did that dropped yesterday. And so how I was able to do that, I break down the whole backstory and how you can get similar great connections in your industry. So all the strategies there. To join the community, it's $19 a month. In the future, we'll have this, we'll raise the price. In the past, we had it at $100. So it's at a discount right now, and we'll raise it back up in the future. If you want to lock in that $19 a month price, if you get it now, it won't ever be raised on you. And we have over 350 members. So a huge community. People share comments in the community, all sorts of amazing insights that they're learning. We have a classroom with dozens and dozens of videos on all sorts of things, making money with AI. So if you're interested, check it out. The link is in the description. Okay, we have to get into what is going on with Duolingo right now. So a bunch of this comes from essentially an all hands email their CEO, Louis Von Ahn, sent to everybody, which essentially says that Duolingo is going to be an AI-first company. Now, that sounds like great and all, like everyone's like, oh yeah, AI-first, whatever. But there has been some serious criticism of the company after this memo went out. We're gonna read it, walk through different parts, and kind of talk about it. One thing that is very interesting is why they did it. But I guess the big thing that they wanted to say in their posts are like, what doesn't change is that we remain a company that cares deeply about its employees. So pretty much the headline here is that Duolingo is going to start replacing their contractors with AI, which is very interesting how they're going to do that. We'll get into it. So I'll read the first part of the memo and then I want to get your take on it, Jamie. So this is from their CEO. It says, I've said this in the Q&As in many meetings, but I want to make it official. Duolingo is going to be AI first. AI is already changing how work gets done. It's not a question of if or when. It's happening now. When there's a shift this big, the worst thing you can do is wait. In 2012, we bet on mobile while others were focusing on mobile companion apps for websites. We decided to build mobile first because we saw it was a future. That decision helped us win the 2013 iPhone app of the year and unlocked the organic word of mouth growth that followed. Okay, I guess what's your take on basically the framing of this decision here so far?
I mean, I think they're correct. I mean, if you're looking forward to the future, when we have these large language models that are extremely good at, you know, the text and that sort of thing, it would make sense that a language app would want to incorporate AI, or at least put AI in the forefront, because they're going to get left behind. I mean, I just recently saw an article about how Google is now releasing some tools to help people learn different languages with AI, and it really makes sense if you think about it. So I think this is a really smart move.
Yeah, I 100% agree that like AI is huge for language learning. So they're going to do this for a lot of their contractors, which I think what people don't like. But I think if they're willing to do that, that means that they're going to move a lot of AI, hopefully, I think, into the product, because it really is great. Like, I speak French, but like my French is rusty because it's been many years since I actually lived there. And so on ChatGPT, when their voice mode first came out, I would just chat with it and be like, hey, talk to me in French. And I would just chat with it in French. And I'm telling you, that's like one of the greatest things. I did that before I went and spent 2 months in France last summer. So it kind of helped me like prep and get like not rusty on French. So that was really cool. Okay, let's talk about the next thing they said. They said AI isn't just a productivity boost. It helps get us closer to our mission. To teach well, we need to create a massive amount of content, and doing that manually doesn't scale. One of the best decisions we made recently was replacing the slow manual content creation process with one powered by AI. Without AI, it would take us decades to scale our content to more learners. We owe it to our learners to get them this content ASAP. It also helps us build features like video calls that were impossible to build before for the first time ever. Teaching as well as the best human tutors is within our reach. What's your take on that?
I mean, that really makes sense to me. Again, like I back in the day in high school, I took Spanish, and I just remember like all the different you know, grammar things where you'd have a word with different, you know, tail ends on it, and you had to know, oh, that means you go or we go or I go. So like even just one word can be said, you know, 10 different ways depending on, you know, what the grammar is. And then also maybe even a dialect, you know, if you're speaking a Spanish, you know, in Spain or in Mexico, you know, it may sound a little bit different. So I agree with what they're saying. They need to scale and they need to have, you know, to manually program all that. It doesn't really make sense anymore when you have, you know, something like ChatGPT that can do all that research and content creation for you. So,
yeah, it's just like when you're trying to make super personalized lessons for people, AI is just so good at it. And they could scale, they could go, I think they could just personalize it so much more based off of what people understand. One thing that I would ask ChatGPT, just their voice mode to do, I'm like, hey, if I'm ever like saying a word wrong or saying a sentence structure wrong, like stop and correct me. And like, this is just not, you know, what these apps were super good at before. But now with AI, especially with conversational, especially with voice mode, like it is an absolute no brainer. I've seen a bunch of language learning apps pop up. OpenAI's even demoed some that are in this field. So I think Duolingo knows like they're going to get kind of killed if they don't go in that direction. And the video call thing, I think, is super cool too. Okay. Here's where people think it gets a little bit more controversial. They say all of that makes sense. They say being AI first means we will need to rethink much of how we work. Making minor tweaks to systems designed for humans won't get us there. In many cases, we'll need to start from scratch. We're not going to rebuild everything overnight. And some things like getting AI to understand our code base will take time. However, we can't wait until the technology is 100% perfect. We'd rather move with urgency and take occasional small hits on quality rather than move slowly and miss the moment. And then, so yeah, this one is what's more interesting to me. They're literally openly admitting it's not 100% perfect today. We'd rather take hits on quality than kind of miss the moment. And this is what I think maybe a lot of people are getting wrong, is I still am of the opinion that if AI can't do something as good and keep the quality 100%, then you probably shouldn't use it to do that thing, because there are lots of things where AI can completely add value and can do a really good job. And if you're going to make like sacrifices, try to make them in areas where it's not going to have a big impact on the user experience. If they're like admitting that it's going to be bad for quality, so like you imagine language learning, maybe it's going to teach people to say something wrong. It's just like, that doesn't feel good to me when someone's like paying as a user to actually learn something.
Yeah, I get that. But you know, and I think language isn't perfect anyways, you know, especially conversationally, people do mispronounce things, or, you know, so if your goal is to be fluent though in a language, I still feel like, you know, talking to an AI could really get you there. But yeah, I guess I see what you're saying too, where you don't want it to teach you wrong either. So yeah, I don't know. That's tricky.
Hopefully that they mitigate this and they're able to find ways where it doesn't really impact the quality too much. But I do think that's an interesting kind of point there. Okay, this is another part that is also controversial to people. And it's what they're doing with their workforce with AI. So they said, we'll be rolling out a few constructive constraints to help guide this shift. Number one, we'll gradually stop using contractors to do work that AI can handle. Number two, AI use will be part of what we look for in hiring. Number three, AI use will be part of what we evaluate in performance reviews. Number four, headcount will only be given if a team cannot automate more of their work. And number five, most functions will have specific initiatives to fundamentally change how we work. Let's go line by line on this, Jamie, because this is absolutely insane. And I predict you're going to see at least 50% of major corporations with similar policies within the next year, guaranteed. This is 100% the way I think the future is going. Now, people are complaining about AI replacing contractors and work, but I think this is interesting. Have you, like, what percentage of things, Jamie, would you say, like, 5 years ago, you would have used a contractor or a virtual assistant or someone to do that you could just do with AI today? Because that's kind of the first thing that they said they're going to replace.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, a lot of things can definitely be done now that I would have had to pay someone on Fiverr or learn a new skill to do in the past. So I think, as we've mentioned before, you know, the volume, you're able to create just a lot more volume of things in content with the same amount of time. So you need to learn to use AI as a tool to increase your productivity. You know, that is, I think on paper though, if you got that email from your boss, that probably sounds intimidating and also sounds like, okay, now I'm going to be expected to 10x my productivity. This stinks. Like, they're not giving me a raise. You know, like I could see there's how there would be a lot of frustration there as well, especially for people who are unfamiliar with AI. So that's why you need to learn as much as you can, because the train is leaving the station.
Yep, 100%. So I recently have had a whole bunch of experiences. One was using ChatGPT's operator to do a whole bunch of tasks that used to have virtual assistants do. That was really mind-blowing to me. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but honestly, give it 6 months or whenever they put out their next operator update, it will be ready for the masses to do like virtually everything. So that's crazy to me, where it kind of like takes over a computer and goes, and like I had it editing and scheduling and downloading and uploading podcast episodes, titling them, descriptions. Like, did the whole thing. I recorded it and then did all the post-production. That is usually a huge job. That's someone's full-time job pretty much at my podcast studio and even here for the show. So that was mind-blowing for me. And it's not quite there, but very, very soon it's going to completely take over that. Then the second thing is, just recently I kind of ran an experiment where I went to Fiverr and I got a bunch of video editors to edit like a short ad in like, it's like a portrait mode ad for my podcast studio. It's just like a local business ad that I was running on Facebook. I did a few like takes and I got a bunch of different people to edit it different ways. I was doing an experiment where I paid anywhere between $10 or $15, I think was the cheapest person I paid. And $180 was the most I paid for one of these that was like the greatest editor of all time, right? So what was crazy to me is like they were all kind of different. The $180 I don't think was the best. I actually think the $15 was like one of my favorite ones. And then maybe like the $40 was like the next favorite. So it's kind of crazy like that. Yeah. Anyways, they're roughly the same. And then the $180 was like maybe the third or something. So like the price didn't like correlate with the quality, which was interesting. But I took it a step further, and yesterday I used the Captions app, if you have it. I think it's only on iOS, which is kind of annoying, but they have a new AI video editor feature. And if you're curious on what this looks like, you can go to my Instagram. It's JadenAI on Instagram. And my most recent reel that I posted is essentially one that I just took like a clip that my video editor gave me of my recent Mustafa Suleiman, the CEO of Microsoft AI that I did, that we dropped it yesterday. That interview on AI Applied, that interview, I just got a clip from it, a minute long clip, and I put it into the Captions app to like edit and see what it would do. And it made the most polished animated graphics, animations. It had AI generated images inside of it, and it picked where to put them. And I've tried like Opus Pro before, was not as good as the Captions app. The Captions app is amazing. It has AI generated avatars. It does so much stuff. So you can go check out that reel on my Instagram if you want to see what it's capable of. But I did that literally yesterday. And after paying like five different video editors to do things and then seeing what this Captions app can do, I'm just telling you now, for all of my future like commercials or ads, like Facebook ads for my studio, I'm just going to use the Captions app. It edits so fast. It's so good. It throws in B-roll. It's so trendy and animated and like, it is insane. So do you know what I'm talking about? Did you see that clip, Jamie?
I did. It looked, I mean, I thought you paid someone because it looked really polished. So,
polished, because
I was
right?
Like, I saw like, okay, interview just dropped of you guys. And I'm like, oh, how does he have like shorts of this already? This is crazy. They must be like trying to pump out as much content to get it, you know, hyped as you can. But yeah, I thought you paid somebody. So that's crazy.
Yeah, that was, I mean, free. It was probably like $20 a month for Captions. I can't remember. And then like it did it in like 10 minutes. So pretty freaking crazy. And also one thing that I noticed that Captions does, which is now, I guess, competition for Opus Pro, because that's traditionally Opus Pro is the one that I used in the past. But honestly, this one seems like it's much better. But it does a thing where you throw in the YouTube link and then it also will pick the clips for you. So that's pretty crazy. I probably should do that. If you see my Instagram next, I probably will be giving it the YouTube link and having it run through and edit a bunch of those as well. So really crazy. Yeah, I think the contractors in a lot of tasks are getting completely replaced by software that has AI embedded in it. Okay, we stuck on that point for so long that but I don't want to miss the other ones, because I do think that there's a couple interesting ones. So one of them is that they're going to be looking at people's AI use when they're hiring them. That's amazing. So if you're looking for a job, make sure that, or you're hiring someone, make sure that they are using AI tools. AI is going to be used in their performance reviews. So they're putting their money where their mouth is. It's like, do you want to get your bonus at the end of the year? How are you using AI? How are you automating yourself? And I know a lot of people last year, even I had developers working at AI Box that were like, oh, I don't want to do, I don't know, I don't want to use AI because I'm so much better and stuff. And if that's your attitude, you are not going to make it, because it 100% will make you 10 times faster. Check the quality, look at the code. But like, I have written 100, we've rewritten 100, over 100,000 lines of code for AI Box using Claude Code. And it is insane, absolutely insane. So for refactoring, for cleaning up code, for helping do stuff, it's amazing. That was really interesting. And yeah, headcount's only going to be given if a team cannot automate more of their work. And then it essentially is going to change everything they said. So at the end of, like, we still care about all of our employees. We're still going to support training, mentorship for tools. Change can be scary, blah, blah, blah. They kind of give that whole thing. But that was what was interesting. Those bullet points was the literal changes they're making. I think we're going to see a lot of companies do this. So pretty, pretty crazy stuff.
Well, if you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to leave us a review. We really appreciate those. And then also check out our school community where we release premium content every single week. Jaden can break down how he got hooked up with the Microsoft AI CEO. So pretty valuable stuff. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.